Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Hey, hi, hello, and welcome to our first episode, first official episode on the new SB Nation Podcast Network, as well as our first official one of the off season. Last episode technically was for the Blackhawks, like technically,
but we had season. It's the post,
right? Like we had to wrap things up with the Blackhawks, but now we're solely focused on the Stanley Cup playoffs, which is really exciting for me. It's hard to keep up. Like first round is always so exciting because there's always a game on every day. And so it's hard to like keep up.
Yeah. We watched three games yesterday. My dad's like, is it always like this? I'm like, no, it's really not.
Like in the regular season, it's like you have 14 games on a Thursday night. And then Friday night is like one game, Edmonton, like Vancouver. And it's like, really?
Yeah.
Like, but now well, with the playoffs, it's every night. There's always like a top, obviously it's the playoffs. All the top teams are in it, but a top round matchup to watch, which is just so fun. But as we'll get it hasn't been how it's supposed to be.
Even if there are like a bunch of games on, it's not like they're all on national broadcast. So you can't watch them like as easily unless you have like the NHL TV package thing.
All of them, all playoff games are on national.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. All playoff games are, but like regular season.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait.
If there are 14 games, that's great, but you can't usually watch all of them.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's
true. What I was getting at. Sorry.
Okay. I was like, wait, every game is on, playoff hockey on NBCSN. Kenny Albert. Yeah. Love Kenny Albert. Just his voice is just so like distinct. Him and Doc, like it's like I'm Kenny Albert. It's like you don't have to say that. I know, sir.
I know who you are.
Speaking of that, that's like Jim Nance's voice from he announces the Masters. He announces PGA stuff, but he always goes, "Hello, friends. I'm Jim Nance, and welcome to the Masters." And like, it's like Jim, we know,
like Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, it's like Jim, we know. But speaking of the Masters, I wanted to say this at the top of the podcast: congratulations to Tiger Eldrick Woods, goat. Okay, goat. So everyone knows that we love hockey. Everyone knows that like we both love baseball. Okay, but for me, golf is like my little special thing. I played golf competitively for 8 years. I played for the Illinois Junior Golf Association. I had a PGA pro professional guy as my coach. Shout out to Ian Grant, one of the best coaches ever. I love golf. I one day sat down when I was 6 or 7 years old and watched Tiger play a round of golf with my dad, and I told him I wanted to be just like him. So I got signed up for lessons and told my coach, if you can't make me swing like Tiger Woods, I don't want to play golf. So we basically crafted my swing for years to be like same angle, same degree measurement in my backswing, same everything as Tiger. So he's one of my idols. But I was hanging around today, and it was really cool because like I grew up watching him. My dad grew up like he's probably my favorite athlete to watch all time. He has 108 pro wins, 81 wins on the PGA Tour. This was his 15th major tournament win, his fifth ever Masters. It was funny. He's putting on the green jacket. And he's like putting it on. And he's smiling. He looks over. He goes, "It fits." Like, come on, man. Come on. Like, it's just like, oh yeah, yeah. It's made for me. So needless to say, he's the GOAT. So shout out to Tiger Woods, just inspirational. And plus, like, every single white hockey boy that isn't in the postseason right now is like, "Go, let's go Tiger" on their Instagram story, like sideways tilt of the TV. Brock Besser goes, "I'm crying." I go, "Me too, dude." Like, I literally was sitting there sobbing. And he saw his kids. The first person he hugged was his son, which is so cool. His daughter was there, his girlfriend, his mom was there. And the camera was close enough where his mom was hugging him. And you could hear her say, "Your dad would have been so proud of you." And that just, and someone put a picture of his first Masters win in 1997 of him hugging his dad to this year and him hugging his son. And like, it was like father and son, and it just made me so emotional. If you follow Tiger, you follow golf, you know how important his dad was to him. Basically, the reason he played golf, how he learned how to play golf. His best friend died a couple years ago, way back. But that was really emotional to hear. Just be like, your dad would have been so proud of you. And so shout out to Tiger Woods. Oh, so exhilarating. Like, the Masters is the best. This, like, week is just the best week in sports in the year because, okay, baseball is back in full swing. Okay, then you got the playoffs that started on Wednesday, and then the Masters started on Thursday. So it's just like, oh, it's one of the best weekends in sports. So shout out to Tiger for that. But now that we're in the offseason, there isn't any Blackhawks news that probably will be coming out until closer to the draft anyway. So
and like Worlds, like who's all going to Worlds?
I know DeBrincat for sure is going to Worlds. I heard
and Anisimov is too.
Anisimov. The Ice Hogs, as of last night, the Ice Hogs are out of playoff contention in the AHL, so we don't have them to follow as well. So tonight's the last home game for them, and I think they have maybe one or two left of the regular season, and then they're over. So we don't have anything to follow there. So I was saying to Megan before we went on today, these podcasts are going to be like a little shorter just because all we're going to be talking about is playoff stuff, and if we don't have any playoff stuff to talk about, which we do.
I'm pretty confident that we can still.
Oh yeah, no, we're gonna
drag this out.
Oh, we have stuff that we can talk about. Don't you worry. But
we got this.
This is also a side note, but have you ever seen that Vegas commercial where the guys like have that the little vase and like champion, 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 and they're running through like.
Oh yeah, and then they put the vase back.
They put it back. That. Yeah. So they show it. Actually, one part of it is at the Venetian where we stayed, and then there's like a part at Caesars and there's a part at Tao nightclub, and just like. I saw that commercial and I was like, oh, that's funny. Haha, Vegas. And then I went to Vegas and I saw like that stuff happening. Like I literally just saw people running around, like screaming, like just, yeah, I was like, that is
just how Vegas is.
I was like, that is just so Vegas. Like now I can say that because I'm sophisticated and I went to Las Vegas.
Fancy. Uh-huh.
Let's stay on the West Coast though. All right. So Todd McClellan, he won't be the new head coach in Buffalo. There are multiple vacancies and head coaching jobs throughout the NHL. As of right now, LA is one of them. Buffalo, you got, who else do we have?
Anaheim.
We have Anaheim, Edmonton, and Florida's already been filled. So I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's.
Are they bringing back?
And the Flyers.
The Flyers. Okay, good. Well, they're thinking about maybe bringing Gordon back, but they don't know.
They're not sure. We'd prefer not to.
Yes, and Edmonton, on top of needing a new coach, needs a new GM. So that'll be really fun to follow. But Tom McClellan won't be the new head coach in Buffalo. He met with Jason Botterill when he was there over the weekend. His son plays for Denver, so he was in the Frozen Four. They lost in the semifinal. UMD ended up winning it last night for the second straight year. They beat UMass. We'll get into that in a little bit too, but he's expected to be the new head coach in LA, which is interesting. He knows Rob Blake really, really well, the GM there, and Luke Robitaille, who's the president and stuff. He knows them really well. I guess he's had a connection. They played, like, I know Rob Blake played under Todd McClellan when he was a coach. I forget where he played under him at, but there's a big connection there. So look for LA to try and fill their void, their coaching void in the next couple of days, here. But he met with Jason Botterill, and then after that, it was like, yeah, no. But everyone was under the impression that Buffalo was throwing a ton of money at him, like a ton of money at him. And he still was like, you know, I don't want to be here. So, that's interesting. So keep an eye out for that coming up. We'll talk about this and then we'll move on to Kucherov. Connor McDavid won't need knee surgery. Thank the Lord above. He has a slight PCL tear in his left knee, which is really good. He's been walking around with a bandage on his knee and one of those giant braces. My dad tore his ACL.
Like a whole leg brace.
My dad tore his ACL in like 2009, I think it was. And he had one of those. I think every time we've gone to Disney World, except for maybe once or twice, someone in my family has been injured. Like I've gone with like boots on my foot. The first year we went as a family, I fractured my foot. So I was in a giant brace. My dad tore his ACL. He was in the giant thing. So we've always had like those handicap passes. They're like Flash passes.
Yeah,
but,
like we're, yeah, we yeah. can get Fast Pass for basically everything.
Yes. So like my dad, so we walked in and my dad had like one crutch. He was like maybe 2 or 3 weeks into his recovery. He had surgery for it. And he's like walking in on his crutch and some lady came up, like some lady was like, do you have like, do you have a handicap pass? Do you have accommodations? And he's like, no, like I didn't know, because we didn't know you could do that. And they're like, go to City Hall, go get your pass, like blah, blah, blah. So we went in there, we got our pass and one for all of us, and we all got to go on the rides on the fast part. Yep. So, but my dad had one of those like huge knee braces. They're just like tough. Like it literally goes from like top of your thigh all the way down to like middle all of your calf. All the way down.
Yeah. Olivia had one at one point. Oh God, it was a couple years ago. She was still in high school. It was like her senior year of high school. So, I don't
They're
know.
Tough.
I guess it would have been my junior year, but yeah.
Yeah, it's really tough. But so that's good that he won't need knee surgery. He'll be ready to go by the start of training camp in the fall, which is just
That's like God. Really good news, yeah.
It's good for them, yeah, especially because like if he needed surgery, like I'm glad they came out and said it, because after the whole debacle they had this year with Jesse Puljujärvi and like needing dual hip surgery and not letting him get it for months on end, like literally being like, no, you need to play. That's just tough. So thank God that they came out and was like, nope, he's good. He's fine. So that's really good to hear. But let's talk about Nikita Kucherov. As we're sitting here watching the Lightning Columbus game right now, yep. Nikita Kucherov suspended for one game. He's not playing in this game, game three. He's not playing in this game. He's suspended one game for boarding. Was it Nudavara? Is that his name?
Yeah, it was Marcus Nudavara.
Marcus Nudavara. He boarded him. Basically, it was like a dirty play. I mean, it was unnecessary. It was so dirty. I like Nikita Kucherov. I think he's a great player. He's not that kind of, like, he's not that kind of dirty malice kind of guy. But no, that's not an excuse or anything. I'm just saying, like, his track record shows that he is not that kind of player.
I thought it was going to be probably two games, but I think one is probably fair. Because you're right, like, he doesn't have a track record of doing it or anything like that. But, yeah, that hit was just – I was a little surprised that it was him that did it because – like we said, like he doesn't have a track record and he usually uses his speed, not like his strength to outplay his opponents. So it was kind of weird. I mean, the whole Lightning situation is weird. We'll get into it later, but like, I don't know. It was just very strange. When I saw that, I was like, oh.
Yeah. Well, it's not a guy that you expect to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you expect someone like, I don't know, like not even from the Lightning, but like a Dustin Byfuglien or like like a Zdeno Chara. Like
if you got to pick somebody from the Lightning, maybe like Killorn or somebody who does a little bit more
checking. Or like Dan Girardi even. Like,
yeah. Who does somebody, big guy who does a little bit more checking than.
Is a fourth liner kind of guy. Like in Dan Girardi's case, he's a lower pairing D man. I mean, he's up with McDonough half the time. Dan Girardi is. I'm like, okay. But they play together in New York, actually. I'm like, okay. But yeah, so he's suspended for one game, so we'll see how they do. They need to win game three if they even want to try and have anything in this series. But it was last year, so they put it up during the Calgary-Colorado game last night, during the intermission, but it was Columbus has never gotten out of a series where they've started off leading it 2-0. Like last year, when they played Washington, they went up 2-0, and then they went back home and they didn't win a game the rest of the series. Then it's the same situation that they're in now with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I'm just a little curious. And they started on the road too last year. They started in Washington last year in round one. So we'll see how that goes. But speaking of, let's continue on this talk about suspensions. Let's talk about Nazem Kadri last night on Jake DeBrusque. Not a good play at all. It should not be in the game, just straight up.
No. And I get that they were going at each other all night, but I still felt like it was very unnecessary. And I think I actually retweeted it on our Twitter. Shout out to our Twitter and Instagram pages.
At PuckandWriteShy on Twitter and at PuckandWriteChicago on Instagram. Give us a follow.
But it's just... It was just so unnecessary. Like, again, like, they were legitimately going at it the whole game. Like, DeBrusque gave him a couple shoves early on. They actually collided at center ice. I think it was the second period, and they collided hard. Like, their knees hit each other, and Kadri went down. DeBrusk kind of spun out, and he was fine.
Kadri was, like, clutching his knee.
Yeah, I think he went to the bench, but I don't think he ever went to the locker room.
No, I think he went back. He went back to the locker room.
Did he go to the locker room?
But he came out. He came out for the third. He was out for the start of the third.
Okay, that's what I thought. So maybe he. Okay, he
did. Because Elliot Friedman tweeted it. He was like, "Kadri back out for the third period." So I assume he went back at one point.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember him. I mean, he was putting weight on it, but he wasn't. You could tell he was in pain. But now that I'm remembering it, yeah, he did go back to the room. But yeah, so they were, I mean, they were going at it all night. They were just shoving each other all night. And finally, I guess Kadri had enough. And DeBrusk checked Patrick Marleau. And I don't necessarily think that was a dirty hit. I think it was a hard hit. He just rammed him into the boards. But Kadri took offense to that. And
well, and here's the thing. Here's the thing, like, during the regular season, I feel like watching Nazem Kadri, especially this season, was toned down a little bit more than he has been in the past. Like, in the past, he used to be, like, a rat. Like, he literally used to be some guy that would just go around throwing unnecessary hits on everyone. Like, he was a very undisciplined player. And he had a talk down, he had a talking with Lou before Lou Lamoriello went over to the Devils. And he was like...
No, he's with the Islanders.
Oh,
right?
The Islanders now. Sorry, he was with the Devils before. I'm thinking.
Holy! He's been with so many teams at this point.
Devils, well, like Devils, is what he's known for because of all the championships with Martin Brodeur and blah blah blah, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, but I knew it was on the East Coast somewhere.
He was close enough. New York, New Jersey.
He sat down with Lou, and Lou was still GM of the Leafs, and they're like, bud, you need to, like, if you don't fix your game, if you don't become a more disciplined player, if you don't, you know, shored up a little bit, I don't know if there's going to be a roster spot for you. And he took that and was like, okay, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to change it. I'm going to be a more disciplined player, but I'm also going to know my role, and I'm going to make sure that I can, like, I can play that role. And he's been a great third line center for them all year. And he was very good at toning it down, knowing when to dial it back, knowing when to, like, go at it or ease up. And every time he gets to the playoffs, that seems to just out the other.
Window.
Because he's the kind of guy, he's like Evgeny Malkin. Like, he's the kind of guy that when he sees the red mist, he's a goner. Like, you can't get him back. Like, he is just going full on, like, I'm going to ram your face into the ice. I have no mercy. And that's how Malkin is. You get Malkin pissed, you put some red mist in front of his face, he's done. He's done. He's like a bull. He sees that red flag, and he's like, I'm out. I'm done. I'm going for blood.
I'm done.
So, like literally... Malkin swinging his stick at, I forget who it was, and the Flyers.
The Flyers player.
It was, Racco Gudas or someone.
It was somebody.
Swinging his stick, like, when you get him mad, you get him mad. And so Kadri, I feel like every time he gets into the playoffs, he just throws that to the wayside. Like, that's just not, it's just not a priority for him anymore, I guess. And it's just such a shame, because he is... Outside of fighting, he is such a good hockey player. He's a great third line center for them. They need him. They need him. Like, it's frustrating. So, he has an in-person hearing in New York tomorrow for it, which, when you're given an in-game hearing, it gives the commissioner and, like, the Department of Player Safety and George Parros the ability to give him upwards of 5 games. Suspension wise. So that was last night, was very much likely the last game he'll play in the Toronto Boston series. But he was, after that hit, he was given a 5-minute major and a game misconduct. So he was out of the game after that. DeBrusk. Okay. I tweeted this too. I was watching it. DeBrusk, the look on his face.
He looked so mad.
He looked like he was like, murder is legal. Like, he literally was like, I wouldn't want to cross him. That was, and they've had something going since like game one. Like, they had something going all year, but that's tough. That's tough for the Leafs. It's a tough spot.
I think the thing that's frustrating to me, and I'm not like I mean, I like the Leafs fine. Like, I don't have anything against them, but if I had to pick between them and the Bruins, I'm going to pick the Bruins every time because my stepdad likes the Bruins. But even casting my bias aside, I mean, Kadri did the same thing last year. I mean, it wasn't cross-checking somebody in the face.
But he got suspended.
It was a dirty hit, and he got suspended, what, three games, I think?
Three. It was three.
But I think Eddie Olczyk was saying, I think it was in the intermission or, like, the post-game or something, he was, like, adamant that he was going to get 10 games for this, and that seems a little high for me.
If it was the regular season, yes.
Yeah. But, I mean,
playoffs, everything just goes to the wayside.
I mean, it was just dirty. But I, when it happened, I was like, did that seriously just happen?
Yeah.
Like, it was one of those things. And then I saw 43. I'm like, Kadri, come on. Yeah. You did this same thing last year. And if you look at the two videos side by side, like the one from last year and the one from this year, they're in the same exact spot. It's like that top corner. And I don't understand.
Yep.
Like, I don't get it. But Chara, I don't know if you saw the piece like afterwards, but Chara was like,
I have no mercy.
Grabbed him.
Yeah. He just started punching him into the ground.
Legal.
Well, DeBrusque is like laying all the way on the bottom, and then Kadri's still on top of him, and then Chara comes over, he's like, well, while you're down,
I'm gonna hit you.
I just might as well punch you until, I mean, the whistle's already blown, who cares? So yeah.
I think he was also like low key trying to get him off of DeBrusque because DeBrusque wasn't moving for like a minute. I mean, I think it just hurt him.
Right.
Well, naturally, yeah, because you know, getting cross checked to the face.
Yeah.
But I mean, he was laying there, and I don't know if Chara just didn't know. I don't know. I feel like I'm not a violent person, so this is probably not a good comparison, but like, I feel like if I saw one of my teammates laying on the ground because somebody hit them, even if I didn't know the circumstances, I still probably would go over there and like fight.
Yeah. Like you just go and stick up for your teammate.
Try and get the guy off of him.
Yeah. You go and you stick up for your teammate, you know? Yeah.
So it was kind of funny because Chara's just such a big guy. So when he bends over, he's like basically the height of Kadri.
He's so scary. He's a scary dude.
He's terrifying. I just would not want that in my face.
Nope. Like off the ice, he's a real nice guy. But on the ice, it's like you are 6'9" and then some. You're a large dude.
Yeah, he's 7 feet. He's 7 feet tall in skates.
He's a large dude.
Big dude.
But just two more things to talk about, and then we'll dive into all of the series because I know we really want to do that. But goaltender Caden Primeau, he's a prospect of the Montreal Canadiens. He earned the Mike Richter Award, which goes to the most outstanding goalie in NCAA Division I hockey. And then forward Cale Makar of the Colorado Avalanche wins the Hobie Baker Award, going to the most outstanding player at NCAA D1 hockey. Well, we all know how awesome an award the Hobie Baker is. I mean, Johnny Gaudreau's won it. Multiple NHL players have won the Hobie Baker. He played for UMass, so they lost in the Frozen Four last night to UMD Bulldogs. Every time I think of UMD, I think of that one scene in Miracle when it's like the practice like montage. They're like, who do you play for? He's like, UMD Bulldogs. And I think it's Silky. It's Silk that says it, that went to
yeah,
UMD.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He's like, UMD Bulldog. Or no, it's John. It's either Silky or Johnson. I think it might be Johnson. No, because Johnson played for Madison. Johnson, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Johnson played for Madison. He played for the
Badgers.
It was
Silk.
Yeah.
It was Silk that was
I think you're right.
UMD. But every time I think of it, he's UMD Bulldogs.
Yeah.
So Cale Makar signed his entry-level contract today. He will join Colorado for their playoff run. So it's possible that he plays tomorrow in Game 3. It's a little more likely that he'll play Game 4 on Wednesday. But he's flying out there today, apparently. Since he signed and he will be playing, he's going to burn the first year of his contract, which is tough because he will be playing. But hold on, I actually saw a tweet today from Cat Friendly that broke down the details of it. Okay, so it says, I have signed Cale Makar to a 3-year entry-level contract that starts this season, 2018-19. Makar is eligible. He is EL entry-level age 20, meaning his contract will not slide and he'll burn the first year of his ELC as a result. Makar is waiver 28, age 20, meaning that he'll be expansion draft eligible if he plays in one pro game. So basically,
yeah,
if he plays,
I saw whereas if he plays, they'll have to cover him when Seattle.
And they're gonna want to because he is one hell of a player. I mean, winning the Hobie Baker kind of says that, but he is, his shot is unreal. It's unreal. It's a sick shot that he's got there. So that'll be really fun. I'm really looking forward to that. But since we left off, since we just talked about Colorado, let's start in the Western Conference and let's start with the Calgary.
Yeah.
Let's start with the Calgary Colorado series, because underratedly, it's probably my favorite series. Besides, like, this Tampa-Columbus one.
I mean, besides my favorite series if I could watch it.
Yeah, because it's so late where you're
at. It's so late that I can't, like, there's just no way.
I was, well, okay, so the first game I watched, and that was just a blowout. That was 4-0. I watched that first one. And then the second one last night, Colorado got one back. 3-2 was the score. Did you watch McKinnon's OT goal?
Yeah, I saw it this morning. I was like,
I got a notification from the NHL and like the title of it was Mac Daddy. And I was like, oh, so we're all calling him Mac Daddy now? Is that how this works?
That's a thing now.
That's how this works now. Yeah. So that's pretty funny. But, yeah, no, I think that series, like honestly, I think Calgary is going to win that one. I know I said that in our bracket, all that stuff, bracket preview, whatever, last week. But I honestly think Calgary could go to the Stanley Cup final, if we're being real. Like, they just hit you from everywhere.
Oh, I think so too. I mean, I picked them to go to the,
yeah.
But I think from the highlights I've seen from those games, they look fantastic. And I'm really upset that I can't stay up that late.
You know what it is that makes them awesome? Speed. Between the two of the teams, the speed is unreal. And I think it's like, if you've been a fan of Calgary or Colorado all season, you see it all season long. But we're Chicago Blackhawks fans. And while we do have speed, it's not like Calgary Flames speed. I watch those games and I'm like, is this what the new NHL is supposed to look like? Because I think like the Blackhawks aren't as slow as the LA Kings. We're not all the way at the bottom. But we're also not like the Calgary Flames, who just like fly at you, you know, like we're not like the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are just fly. So I watch it and I'm like, is this what good hockey is supposed to look like?
It's entirely a speed game, and it's just so impressive. And I think part of the reason the series is good too, because I think obviously Calgary is the like the top seed there, but. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Colorado, honest to God, any other year could be higher than where they are, seeding-wise. Mm-hmm.
They just squeaked just like, in. Just squeaked
yeah,
in.
Yeah, it's like two really poised teams. Mm-hmm. Like, I know the Avalanche were kind of falling off towards the end of the season, but I think it's going to be a 6 or 7 game series.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And if Colorado keeps coming back like they did last night, like the first game was a blowout. And then the second game, Colorado, I got the impression that they were like, okay, guys, let's clean it up here because we can't get embarrassed like that again. Which I wish Tampa did, but nope, Tampa can't do that apparently. So that's a fun one to watch. If any of you are either on the West Coast or you can just stay up late, like last night, and I had an excuse because I was babysitting really late, so I was like, okay,
I got this. Last night I probably could have if I wasn't as tired as I was.
Oh, I was falling asleep. I kept falling asleep, and then I'd like fall asleep. I set my timer for like 5 minutes. I'd fall asleep, and then I'd hear the announcer go, had a shot, and I go, oh, oh, oh.
Yeah, I fell asleep like right as the first period was ending. So yeah. I caught the first period, at least. That's something.
Well, and then, like, the overtime goal was, like, McKinnon skates in the zone. McKinnon shoots. And I, like, opened my eyes. I was like, what? And I saw the goal. So it was super late. It ended, I think, around, like, 12:45 Central Time. So that would have been 1:45 Eastern
Time
for Megan.
Yeah, there's no way I was going to stay up that late.
Yeah. So, okay, moving on. Nashville-Dallas. First game was taken by Dallas.
This series is also fun.
It's fun. It's fun.
I love this series.
The first game was taken by Dallas 3-2, and then Nashville took the second game 2-1. So that's also a series that's tied 1-1. I have Nashville winning the series. Like, I just think Nashville's the better team. But it is pretty fun to see Dallas, like, hang around and be up with the big boys here. I was listening to I think it was the 31 Thoughts podcast this week. And they were talking about how it was like a GM-focused podcast, so they talked to Dale Tal and Jason Botterill, Jim Bennington, and they're talking about how, what's his face, Poyle, in Nashville. The way he constructed his team, it's just like strange because a lot of it has come from trades and not a lot of it has come from their own system or from their own drafting. Like a right. lot of their players, like, okay, and he takes, and they were talking about how Poyle takes big bets. Like he took a big bet with PK Subban and Shea Weber. He took a big bet with Johansson and Seth Jones. And a lot of his, like he took a bet with Fiala and trading Fiala, that is. I forget
and
who they
Wayne
got.
Wayne Simmons, to be
Wayne
honest.
Wayne Simmons. Like he took he takes big jumps, but it works. Like, and then you guys like Bonino that they got from Pittsburgh. They have Boyle, who's a big guy. They got a lot of other guys that are like Dante Fabro, who's new, which they're like, hey, we're just going to try this guy out. He's new to the NHL. We're just going to try it out.
Let's try it out. We'll see how it goes.
Right. But it's fun. It's fun to watch them because they probably have the best D core in the NHL. Yep. It's like then their top four alone is just incredible. And up front, they have a ton of speed and a ton of they like outside of Boyle and Simmons on the front end. I don't really see, like, when I watch their games, I don't notice that they're a big, heavy-hitting team. A lot of their players are finesse guys. A lot of their players are skill guys, like Forsberg, Arvidsson, even Johansson every once in a while can get in on that. But it's super fun to watch them.
Those games have been so much fun. I literally, my dad and I went to a bar last night for dinner. Mm-hmm. And shout out to Gary for being here this weekend and taking me out to dinner. So we were at this bar and they were showing like they had like probably 8 or 10 screens mm-hmm. around the bar. And all of them were showing either basketball or golf. And I know I know both of those are a big deal, but I'm like, come on. I'm like, show some hockey here.
At least one of them.
Yeah. And I don't know if a bartender or like a waitress overheard or something, but they ended up turning a couple of the TVs to hockey. So I watched the end of the Stars and Predators game and it was just so good. I think Craig Smith got the overtime winner yesterday. I think that's who that was.
I can check for you.
I want to say it was him.
Yes, ma'am. You are right.
If so, yes.
Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm.
Good Wisco boy, even though I don't like the Predators. So the whole time, I was trying to tell my dad, even, what was the other game? I think we were watching highlights or something from it. And I was like, all excited because if they won, they'd play their stupid goal song that has been stuck in my head since Friday. Thanks
I like
to
it.
You.
I love it. I want some more of it. Tim McGraw, early Tim McGraw, just mwah, chef's kiss.
It's a really good song, but it's been stuck in my head since Friday morning. And
and just that one lyric too, because Megan doesn't know any of the other lyrics.
I only know the two lines. But yeah, so it's been stuck in my head. So as soon as they scored, because you could hear the audio in the bar. I was like, oh my God, maybe they'll play it. Like, they'll play their song, like their goal song if they win. Not, mm-hmm. I wanted the Stars to win, obviously, but whatever. But of course, when they freaking won, they played that stupid All I Do Is Win song. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Hey, that's a good song. That's a good song.
It is a good song, but that's not the song I wanted them to play.
Listen, I know you have obligations to play certain songs at this place, but you're not listening to me.
They also played Old Town Road, and I really appreciated that.
Yep. Oh, we love Old Town Road.
We're going to talk about Old Town Road every single podcast from here on out. Feel it.
Forever and forever, amen. That one's really fun. Currently tied up. They play tonight, which is Sunday. They play tonight. No, they don't. They play tomorrow. They play tomorrow, which is Monday at 8:30 Central Time. So adjust accordingly. It's still scoreless at the intermission for Lightning and Columbus, for any of you that are following along. And I actually just switched over to Blues Jets, which is also scoreless.
Yes, so did I.
Yeah, I was like, all right, next one. That's the best part about the playoffs. It's like they stagger them, so then you can watch some of one game while the intermission's on for the other, and it's just great.
It's fantastic. I love it so much.
Speaking of St. Louis, Winnipeg, let's talk about that series. St. Louis is up 2-0, which I have the Jets in the Stanley Cup final, so my reality bracket isn't doing so hot right now. Also, my sanity isn't doing so well right now because, one, I just hate when St. Louis has success ever. And two, I love Winnipeg. So sad. So let's, I think it's literally because, like, one of the biggest reasons why I think Winnipeg is not doing so hot right now is they ended the regular season terribly. Terribly. Like, they...
There's just something off about this team, and I don't understand what it is. It's like, all of a sudden, they're just like... It's not like they're not good. They're just not clicking together. Mm-hmm. Like, the chemistry is all of a sudden not there, and I don't really get it. Like, these games have looked sloppy for them. Yes. Even in their own arena, which they usually play really well in...
Winnipeg.
What's the name of their arena?
Bell MCS Place.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I knew it was Bell something, but I wanted to say Bell Center, but I know that's Montreal. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it was shocking that they just played so badly in their own arena, because, like I said, like, with all the whiteout, especially, like,
it's a small arena too. Like, the fans are on you.
So I feel like they usually play really well there, and it's hard. That's a hard arena to play in if you're the opposing team, but Blues didn't seem to care.
Yeah.
I mean, I have them winning this series. I have the Blues winning this series, you know, not.
And that's what Steve Dangle said, too. I was listening to the Steve Dangle podcast, and Jesse and Adam were both like, yep, Winnipeg's winning it. They're just struggling right now. They'll get it back. And Steve's like, no, 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 no. I have the Blues winning this in seven. He had the Blues in seven. And I have the Jets in the Stanley Cup final. So, but
I don't have them in the Cup final. I have Calgary beating them, but or no, somebody beating them.
But
I can't remember.
St. Louis, on the other end of it, St. Louis has been the hottest team going into the playoffs. They've been the hottest team since end of January, beginning of January. Yeah.
I just don't think their hot streak is going to end. I need it to end. I would appreciate it for them to have their off season.
And the thing is, but, too, they're getting a save. Like, Jordan Binnington has been phenomenal. Phenomenal. Like, and everyone was saying at the start of the playoffs, it was like, okay, he was great in the regular season. He's a rookie. He doesn't have
in the playoffs.
Yes. And they're like, okay, just wait to judge it until you see him make a save. And he hasn't broken down. He hasn't looked nervous. He hasn't looked like anything different than the regular season, which is good for St. Louis. But Connor Hellebuck has been okay. Like, the games, I mean, the games have been 2-1, 4-3. So it's not like,
yeah, so it's not like they're
blowouts. Yeah. It's not
like the Calgary game was.
Right. Right. So, okay, one second back on Calgary, Mike friggin' Smith. Mike Smith hasn't played a playoff game since 2012.
I know.
This is seven years. Like, I just, oh. So that's just, like, it's such a good example about how goaltending can literally decide a series, which is awful. Yep. I hate it. But, like, goaltending can literally decide a series. And especially with the way Columbus has been playing, with Bobrovsky suddenly being like, I have two Veznas. Maybe I should play like it. I also am going into a contract year. Maybe I should play like it.
Novel thought.
So yeah, back to St. Louis, Winnipeg. I hope that the Jets get it together. I don't know if they will. We'll see how they do. They're back in St. Louis for the next two games. So if St. Louis wins tonight, I don't think Winnipeg's coming back. I mean, stranger things have happened, but I don't see them coming back. And I think
it's hard to go down three.
Jesse said this on the podcast too. The Steve Dangle podcast. It was like 68% of teams that win game one of a series go on to win the series.
Yeah.
And or it was like, I think it was like 68%. And then it went up a little bit when teams are up 2-0. And then it went up exponentially more when it's 3-0, of course. But
yeah,
so there's that. And then the last matchup in the Western Conference, San Jose, Vegas, they are tied 1-1. After Vegas went down the first game 5-2, I was like, nope, this isn't the last of them.
No.
They came back and won.
I think that was a fluky game. I don't...
Yes.
I don't know. This.
They also went into the playoffs not hot.
Feel like the St. Louis game, like the St. Louis and Jets series and the Sharks and Golden Knights series, I feel like neither of them have been as chippy as I want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've been chippy, but not like, I don't know.
Like Boston-Toronto is the tough series, right? Like, you'd expect San Jose.
That's what I was kind of thinking. Like, I was kind of hoping that, like, it would just be murder between between the two teams in their series. And it's just been kind of, I mean, especially like the Blues and Winnipeg one, I kind of thought it would be like back and forth games, you know, like, somebody would win one, and then the next game the other team would win, and then it would kind of just go back and forth. But St. Louis is kind of dominated, and I know Vegas picked up a win, but I don't know. It's underwhelming.
Do you know what
And
the
I don't.
difference is, though? Do you want to know what the difference is? Is that San Jose has had terrible goaltending from Martin
Oh yeah,
Jones
their goaltending's awful.
all season long, and they've been missing Erik Karlsson for a giant chunk of games.
Yeah.
And you have a couple guys also on San Jose still that are not healthy. And here's the thing, like, it's like the Sidney Crosby debate, and I know you don't like Sidney Crosby, but like, here's the Sidney Crosby debate. Like, you don't bet against Sidney Crosby. You do, like, in the playoffs, like, it's, and we'll talk about it with the Islanders series because they're
I don't
not
know,
looking
maybe you
so
do bet
hot,
against him.
but you don't bet against Sidney Crosby. Like, that's how it's been. He's just been so dominant. He is one of the best players in the game right now. You just don't bet against him.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Do you bet against the San Jose, like, do you bet against the San Jose Sharks when they have good goaltending like they normally have from Martin Jones and not in this off year that he's had? And with a healthy Erik Karlsson, like healthy, like right now, I really don't think people are going to be throwing like $11 million at Erik Karlsson for a 6 or 7, 8 year deal. I really don't, because he didn't have a great year. And that's due to him being traded out of the only team he's ever known where he was the captain. Like it's a tough blow. It's a, yes, it's tough. I mean, Martin Jones has his .896 save percentage this year. I'm trying to see if, here we go. They have Vlasic has been, Vlasic is out too, as of tonight, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he, I don't think he'll be in tonight, but, you had a couple guys this year that were just banged up and like Vegas, I feel like Vegas, especially when you have Marc-Andre Fleury, who's just like voodoo magic, like can
yeah,
pull a
he's
rabbit out of his hat. Like
yeah.
When he hits the playoffs, it's like, when you talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs, you talk about guys having a switch and being able to switch from the regular season to the postseason. He is like the definition of like regular season Marc-Andre Fleury, playoff Marc-Andre Fleury, and they
yeah,
are
there's
very
a definite
different.
Difference.
They're very yeah. different. But he hasn't fully turned it on yet, and I think he will be turning it on in the next couple games here, especially as if they're tied right now, they want to try and get ahead in this series tonight. They play tonight at 9 p.m. Central Time. So, I have a very hard time going against Marc-Andre Fleury, and I have a very hard time going against Vegas, just in the sense that like they're so fast up front and they have so many good goal scorers, but their defense is also great. And I mean, talking about forwards, you added Mark Stone. That's like the biggest guy at the trade deadline that you could have gotten, and Vegas got him. You have Max Pacioretty this year. Like, there's a lot of things that are going for Vegas right now, and there's a lot of things that aren't really going for San Jose. Like San Jose, I expected so much more out of them this year, I guess, and because of the goaltending situation and because of like how banged up their decor can get, we didn't really see it. So I don't know. That one's fun to watch too. I just love watching Vegas in general. They're a fun team to watch. So yeah, we'll see where that goes. So that kind of wraps up the Western Conference part of it. Let's move over to the Eastern Conference. Let's talk about Washington, Carolina first. I want to save Boston and Toronto and then Tampa. I want to save Tampa for last.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with
you.
I'm right there with you.
We'll go Washington, New York, and then we'll go Toronto and Tampa. So let's talk about Washington. Megan, I know you've been following this one super, super close because obviously Carolina Hurricanes fan, you live in Raleigh.
They're my boys.
They're having a tough time. They're down 2-0 in the series. Washington won the first one 4-2.
And I'm going to be completely honest. What's really frustrating is that they are playing not every single guy, but a good chunk of the guys, especially yesterday. In game two, I thought they were playing really, really well. Their problem is that they get stuck in a hole early on in the game and then they can't get back out. Mm-hmm. Sounds familiar at the Blackhawks.
We love doing that to shade. Ourselves.
it's gotta be hard to play in Capital One Arena, number one. Mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, every time I watch a game in like that's taking place in Washington, no matter who's doing the game, it is so loud in there. Yeah. Like, you can hear it on the broadcast. Mm-hmm. And, like, you can usually hear fans in the broadcast, but I feel like in Washington, it's just so loud. And it looks like they always pack their games.
It's like Vegas. You can definitely hear on the broadcast. That place buzzes all the time.
And it just, I mean, and then how the heck are you going to go against Braden Holtby? Like, some of the saves, especially yesterday that he made, I'm like, how? You're not human, number one. And like it's the thing with Holtby though is that you never know what you're gonna get with him, because like last year he started the playoffs kind of on a rocky, I don't know, he had a rocky start.
Well, they started Grubauer.
Yeah.
They started Grubauer. That was their guy last year. Yeah.
And because Holtby wasn't playing well towards the end of the season. And even when they put him in, if I remember right, I don't think he played well until like the last series. Mm-hmm. Two series.
They went down 2-0 to Columbus. And then they started kicking it into gear.
And it just, like, I just thought maybe he would take a little bit of time to gear up again, but that's clearly not the case.
said nope.
It just sucks because, like, Peter Mrazek, the goaltender for the Hurricanes, has been playing outstanding. He's definitely a flashy goalie, which I don't typically like because it makes me nervous. When they like go really far to their crease to play puck or like
Adventure Time,
it's too much. It's just too much. And Peter Mrazek, unfortunately, is just one of those goaltenders. And it's funny because I think almost every single goaltender I've seen for the Hurricanes plays like that, and it drives me insane.
Maybe Cam, it's just a Carolina thing.
It is. Cam Ward plays like that. Curtis McElhinney has started playing like that. Peter Mrazek plays like that. Scott Darling, he started playing like that. I'm like, what is happening? I hate it. It just sucks because, like, yesterday especially, you could feel that they were really trying. Like, they were – the first game, I think they were too lazy in the first two periods, and it took them way too long to get their feet under them. But you could tell that they were ready to go. I mean, it just sucks because it was like after the two Washington goals that they were finally like, okay, we're ready to go now. I'm like,
you could have done that earlier. 2 goals ago.
Yeah, you've got to start just a handful of minutes earlier. Yeah. Like maybe the start of the game.
Maybe when the puck drops.
I'm hoping that them being back in PNC will give them a little bit more confidence. I think
home crowd
game one is sold out. Not really sure the last time PNC sold out a game. I don't think they do it during the regular season. No shade to the Hurricanes. I love the Hurricanes. They just don't fill the seats. Mm-hmm. But I'm like 98% sure that the game tomorrow is sold out, so that'll be fun. And PNC has been loud the last like half of this season. Mm-hmm. So I'm like super hoping that it's going to be like extra loud tomorrow. I'm going to the game, for those of you who don't know.
Big day.
Yeah, first playoff game ever. I went to the Hurricanes store yesterday and got me a playoff shirt and a playoff puck.
Oh, baby.
So I am ready to go.
You still got to get me my Bunch of Jerks shirts.
I got it. I just got to send it to you.
You do? Okay, good, good, good.
I was going to make it a surprise.
Oh, okay, that's okay. Well, I knew I was getting it.
I know, but like, I feel like it was going to be really fun if I just like sent it to you without you knowing that I got it.
You
got
to send it to me because maybe it's good luck if I wear it. I'm a big believer in superstitions. But maybe if I wear it, like I think the last couple games of the Hawks season, whenever I wore the Patrick Kane shirt, they won. So I was like, I'm just going to wear the Patrick Kane shirt and then be awesome.
I'm the absolute worst. When the Blackhawks were on that really long streak in like February, like the 7-game streak that ended against Columbus, I had been wearing my Patrick Kane jersey all of those games. And on the eighth game against Columbus, my mom and I went to the Dallas Stars Hurricanes game here. And I was like, crap. I was like, I can't wear a Hurricanes thing and I can't wear a Dallas thing because what if they lose? So I wear the stupid Blackhawks jersey to the game. I'm looking like an idiot because I'm not wearing either of the teams that are playing.
And the Blackhawks lost
like 5-2 or something. I'm like, are you kidding me? You made me go out in public looking like an idiot.
For this. I went to a Hawks-Sabres game like 2 seasons ago, and I was sitting next to people wearing Minnesota Wild jerseys. Oh. I was like, what are you doing here? Why are you here?
There's one guy at PNC. Shout out to this guy. I have no idea who he is, but he wears a Minnesota North Stars jersey every single game without fail. Doesn't have a name or number or anything on it. So
it's just a plain Minnesota North Stars jersey.
I'm like, what are you doing?
Why?
And it's every single game.
I get maybe a Whalers jersey, but like, why?
Yeah, I just don't get it.
I guess.
But yeah, so I'm hoping PNC will help. I think they just need to win one game, and then it's a 2-1 series. And I feel like that's not the best situation to be in, but it's also not a bad one.
Right.
And then you've got confidence in your own building so they can win again and hopefully just keep the momentum going.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a lot of wishful thinking. We'll see what happens. I'm not trying to be negative, but I also don't have the highest of hopes for these guys.
I get it. High hopes.
Yeah. I love them to pieces, and I definitely think they can do this. But Washington is
just...
They got to prove it.
They got to win a game. At least win one.
My one criticism on the Hurricanes is that they have been way too physical for literally no reason. Yeah. Like, the Hurricanes or the Capitals don't play like a super physical game. They do, but it's not as physical as like, say, like the Flyers or the Blues or somebody who's going to ram you into the boards every time, or even the Bruins. But I think the Hurricanes are just focusing too much on that, and they're not focusing on playing hockey.
Well,
and it's just driving me a little bit insane.
Well, that's the Leafs conversation too. It's like last year, the Leafs lost to the Boston Bruins because they tried to out Boston Bruins the Boston Bruins. They tried to be tough, and they're not a tough team. You got to play your team. You got to out Leaf the Bruins. Like that's you got to out Canes the Capitals. Like you need to play your game because your game got you to the playoffs. You can't try and beat another team at their own game. Okay, like the Bruins did that the first game. The Bruins played themselves because they tried to play like the Leafs. And guess what? The Leafs played like the Leafs, and they won. Last night, the Boston Bruins looked like the Boston Bruins. Let's just talk about Boston. This is Ronan.
Yeah, let's just talk about it. It's a good segue.
Last night, Boston was Boston. Like, game one, both games went 4-1, but Toronto won game one and Boston won game two. Last night, Toronto looked just slow. Boston looked like ready to go and like just ready at the get-go. And the game one for Toronto was awesome. Like, Mitch Marner showed up big. Boston just kind of looked like dragging behind.
Boston looked terrible.
Bruce Cassidy said it. He said it before game one. He was like, we're dressing our fast lineup. And David Backes was scratched for game one. They're like, we're going to dress our fast lineup. And they tried to play like the Leafs, and they lost. And last night, they played like the Boston Bruins, and they won. And the Leafs just... I mean, Nazem Kadri was trying to play like the Boston Bruins, but like, hey, he's not on the Boston Bruins.
And how did that work out for him?
It did work out. So that's the whole thing. And I think this series, it has been the most hyped up series of this first round because of the whole like history that they have meeting, like the whole 2013 thing, and they knocked us out of the knocked Toronto out of the playoffs, and then last year, and it'll be pandemonium in Toronto if they make another first round exit to Boston. Not even just another first round exit, but to Boston, which is just frustrating. That's like the one series that I kind of just have stake in just because I do cheer for the Maple Leafs. So when I watch that one, I do get a little bit more stressed out because I'm like, oh my God, I just like that series and like Winnipeg, I'd say, are the two that I.
And
Calgary a little bit, Vegas a little bit because I do like Vegas, Calgary a little bit because I do want Calgary to win. I do like Colorado, but I just think Calgary's awesome. But back to Boston Toronto. This is going to be a long series. I think it's going to go 7.
I think so, too. I think it's going to go to 7 again.
And it's fun to watch. Like, it's fun to watch, but also,
it's
like...
It's so much fun to watch.
The thing is that... And you'll talk about this in your power play in a little bit, too. But just, like... The officiating isn't going to get better. I don't feel like it will get better. And the players certainly aren't going to police themselves. I just really don't want to see someone get seriously injured on either team. Like, that's what this kind of series is. Like, I want to watch good hockey. I don't want the entire conversation to be around, like, suspensions like Nazem Kadri is going to get, or, like, big storylines like that. Like, I want to talk about, like, oh, did you see that play Austin Matthews had? And, oh, did you see William Nylander? Like, I want to talk about the hockey. And that's the frustrating part.
Well, that's the thing is, like, every time. So, like, I mean, even, like, the Hurricanes games, like, both of those games, I just felt like the officiating was so bad. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I'll talk about it in my power play a little bit more, but, like, and I'm not one to usually compare hits because I don't think that's really fair. But in this case where you don't even review something and you give a guy a game misconduct for something that another guy did just before that, mm-hmm. I don't like that. And it was, you know, a Hurricanes player that ended up getting the game misconduct. No, I'll go into it later. But, like, it was two similar hits, but one of them was shoulder to shoulder and the other one was shoulder to head. Mm-hmm. Guess which one got the game misconduct?
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, and even the Boston game yesterday, there were some calls on both ends that I was like, what are the refs doing? Not call things. Somebody, I don't remember who it was, but one of the Maple Leafs players got, like, pretty badly tripped. And
was it Marlowe? It was Marlowe into the board. And that's why Kadri, well, so DeBrusque tripped Marlowe, hit Marlowe into the boards. Marlowe went down and was down for a little bit. That's when Kadri went up and was like, yo, man, was it a different one?
Yeah, it was somebody else. It was one of the faster guys, like Marner or somebody. It was like a smaller guy, and he was going up center ice, and he got hit.
Johnson?
And tripped. Maybe it might be. I don't remember who it was.
I watched bits and pieces of it because I was putting the kids to bed while.
But it was just like it was just so bad. I was like, that was blatant tripping. I'm rooting for the Bruins, and I am telling you that was blatant tripping.
Well, in, like, game one, Zdeno Chara got away with, like, four interference calls before they were finally like, yeah, we'll call it. It's like, frustrating. It's frustrating to watch because it's like.
And then there were times too when the Leafs would do stuff. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, they should have gotten a penalty for that. And I just don't. The officiating has just been so, like, up and down, and they don't know what they're actually calling.
Well,
and that's frustrating.
So Dom Lecision of The Athletic made like a graphic it was comparing penalties drawn versus penalties taken. And there's, like, a line up the middle and line going across horizontal up the middle as well. And most teams were in that center cross where it's like you for the most part, you take the same amount of penalties as you give, essentially. The only two, there's, like, Anaheim was off a little bit up higher. Like, they took a ton, but they didn't give a ton or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the Leafs were on the bottom where it was like they didn't take a lot of penalties, but they also didn't give a lot of penalties.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's frustrating. It's frustrating because and that just kind of says that, like, with all those teams in the middle there, what Dom Lecision was getting at is that, like, the officials are more concerned with making the game fair for both teams rather than making it fair based on the rule book. Like, based on the rule book. Like, they're like, okay, well, if I gave this team, like, four penalties, then they should be taking four penalties or something, like, along those lines is what he was trying to say, where it was like, they need to be focused on the rule book and doing what's fair to the rule book, not doing what's fair in the game. Like, I don't care if you like are trying to make friends, not friends, but, like, you're trying to be good with the other team or whatever. No, you need to play the game fair.
But that's,
I get it, but, like, it's not right. It's not right.
Sorry, the Blues just scored. That was a really nice goal.
I know. I'm watching. And update, Matt Duchene just scored. It's 1-0 Columbus.
You said Matt Duchene, and for some reason I thought Colorado, and I was like, he doesn't, they're not playing right.
I'm just hey, an that's, idiot. That's my first thought, too. Don't worry.
Oh, no, dang, they scored at the same time. That's cool. But yeah, I think the officiating's been awful, and it's been awful in, like, almost every game I've watched. I think. I've only caught, like, bits and pieces of the, as much as I like the Stars and Predators series, I've only caught, like, a handful of periods of it. I haven't watched, like, a full game. Mm-hmm. That one seems okay. There haven't really been, and somebody can sound off if that doesn't sound right, but I think that one's been okay as far as, like, pretty much the penalties are okay.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a call, like, maybe, like, one or two calls where I'm like, it probably could have gone the other way.
Right.
But I don't know. I just feel like it's just been all over the place. And I just don't, I don't get it. I don't get it. And they're so, I feel like during the regular season, like if there's like a little bit of a scrap, usually refs will let it go and it's not a 5 minute or like even roughing. Mm-hmm. But during the playoffs, you touch another guy and you're automatically in the box for roughing. And I don't get it.
It's very, very inconsistent. And it's so inconsistent. Yeah, it's not fun. It's not fun to watch, but going on from that, let's talk about the Islanders-Pittsburgh series, because that is just
Let's talk about how much I love that.
Let's talk about postseason playoff performer Jordan Eberle, okay?
Yep.
He scored again today. That man, like, whenever I think about Jordan Eberle, and, like, I love Jordan Eberle. I've loved him as a player since he was with Edmonton, and then he got traded. Every time I think about Jordan Eberle scoring in the playoffs, I just think every goal is just like, ha ha, screw you, Edmonton. You gave up on me. You gave up. And the funny part about it is like, Edmonton's like, well, if we just had one more skilled guy on the front end, we would be great. You had Jordan Eberle and Taylor Hall, and look who you don't have now. So every time Jordan Eberle scores, I'm like, you go, girl. You go, sis.
You go. Get on him. You get it.
You go. You get that. Yeah, no, that's like my favorite thing. It's my favorite thing.
The Islanders are actually like super impressing me. Like I don't follow
them. This entire season has been incredible.
I literally don't follow them at all.
Really?
I don't like them. I don't hate them. I don't know. They're just there for me. Uh-huh. They're one of those teams I just don't really have opinion on. Like the Florida Panthers, like, I don't know, unless the Blackhawks are playing them, I really don't care. Only thing that makes me mad is that they have knockoff Taves, but that's a different story.
Literally, Leo Komarov scored today. Like, I love
that's
it.
That's insane. Like,
Uncle Leo.
I'm happy for him because, you know, it's clear that they're playing well, and their goaltending is, it's another one of those things where their goaltending is stealing games. But they're just surprising me, I guess. I mean, I had Pittsburgh winning in my bracket just because, I don't know, Pittsburgh typically comes out to play in the playoffs, but yeah. Now they're down 3-0 in their series, and it's just weird. I mean, I think, I don't remember who said it, but somebody said it in one of their articles on The Athletic, kind of going over like a playoff preview type of thing. I think it might have been Sean McIndoe. I'm not sure. But it's weird because the Penguins haven't been bad this season, but they also haven't been good.
They haven't been the Penguins.
No.
Like, they're just kind of getting by.
Yeah, which is enough to get them in the playoffs and get them, like, you know, third spot, but I don't know. It's just really weird because I think
they're very off this year.
Believe me, it's not weird in a bad way. at least not for me. But it's kind of, I think jarring is probably a little too
strong. Well, it's strange because it's the strange because we've known since Sidney Crosby has come into the league is that they have great postseason success. He has three cups. Like ever since he came into the league, they haven't missed a playoff. They haven't missed a playoff since Sidney Crosby came into the league. So
yeah,
it's just weird. It's weird. It is because like,
so it'll be interesting to see. Cause I don't know. I don't think they can come back.
I don't want to bet against Sidney Crosby,
yeah,
but like
this is playoff hockey. Like I literally would not be surprised if they came back and won that series. I really wouldn't. I just don't know that. I don't know how much I want to bet against Robin Leonard though.
He's having a year. Like, I don't want to bet against, like, their goaltending has been really great. Their forward group has been really great. Their defense, like, everything about the Islanders has been really great this year.
And I think, I mean, obviously it's in part because of Barry Trotz, but that's not the only reason they're good. But I think he should be in the Jack Adams conversation.
Oh, he's like, I was going to say it's between him and John Cooper. And I think if the Lightning don't get out of this first round and Barry Trotz does, Jack Adams is his hands down locked in.
Yeah, I think it is.
Even if the Islanders don't even get past the second round, I think if they get out the first round, he's got it.
Oh, I think that'd be huge. I
completely changed. Like, you get rid of, okay, listen, you get rid of your GM, you get rid of your coach, you get rid of your franchise player and captain, And then you go on and have one of the best seasons in franchise history. You make the playoffs, and now you're up 3-0 against a team that has won 2 cups in the last 3 years.
Yep. It's nuts. beyond impressive to me because, like I said, I'm really, like, I'm indifferent to the Islanders. Like, they're just there for me. And that's, to be fair, that's like how a lot of the Eastern Conference teams are, just because the Blackhawks don't see them that often. Mm-hmm. I know the Hurricanes do, but I don't know. I just don't care. But they've impressed the heck out of me the past couple weeks. The whole season, really. And I'm kind of mad because I almost saw them when they were here earlier this season and I didn't. So that kind of sucks, but they've just been like stellar the past, like really the whole season. I don't know. I'm kind of surprised, but I also feel like I shouldn't be because, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. I'm just surprised.
Well, and then the first game between New York and Pittsburgh, it was 4-3. And then since then, New York has won 3-1 and 4-1. So it hasn't even been close the last two games. But
no,
I am a Cubs fan. And so from now on, ever since 2016, when the Cubs were down 3-1 in the series, because of that, every time I watch any sporting event, I'm like, they could come back. They could come back because I watched the Cubs do it in front of my own eyes. So that's pretty fun to watch.
My favorite thing is to yell, like,
it was 3-1.
The Indians blew a 3-1 lead.
Blew a 3-1 lead.
Just insert any team here, blew a 3-1 lead. Funny to me.
The best one is, the best version of that is if you say Cleveland blew a 3-1 lead, because then you could be talking about the Indians, but you also could be talking about the Cavaliers against the Warriors.
You're really right on that one, and I really appreciate you saying that because I forgot, and that just makes it so much better.
Never forget.
It's just so funny. I mean, and even it happened in the first Lightning and Blue Jackets game.
Yep.
They blew a 3-1 lead. And it's just so funny to me. Like, I don't know why, but it's hilarious to me.
Yep.
And I just love to see it. I just love to see it.
Let's talk about, finally, in the Eastern Conference. Let's start off with this stat. I just got it from Chris Johnston. I have him on tweet notifications. He says, unreal. Columbus has outscored Tampa 10-1 since falling behind 3-0 in the first period of Game 1. Let's talk about Tampa Bay and Columbus, because that series is probably the one that most people are talking about right now, because Tampa is down 2-0, and they're currently losing 1-0 in Game 3 after a 4-3 comeback win in Game 1 by Columbus and a 5-1 blowout in Game 2. I can say this with utmost confidence. Nobody expected Tampa to perform like this.
No,
this
and
bad,
you know,
at least. Like, we know they hit cruise control, but not this bad.
And you know what's really funny about this? What did I say at the very beginning of this? And I know the series isn't over, but what did I say at the beginning of this season?
What did you say,
Megan? I was not going to put Tampa in my bracket. I wasn't going to pick them to win the cup.
And
because I do this every year and they lose. And what do you know?
Here we are, sitting down to nothing.
I just don't understand. Like, I'm genuinely shocked. Like,
nobody expected it. Nobody.
I mean, I'm really not mad at it because 95% of the time I do like Columbus. Mm-hmm. I rooted against them a little bit towards the end of the season just, you know, for the Hurricanes' sake. But, like, I mean,
so
I love Matt Duchene. I love Panarin. Like, I love Nick Foligno and Cam Atkinson and Seth Jones. Like, I like all those guys. And, you know, I followed them when Brandon Saad got traded there. So they're like, I don't think they'd be like top five.
Yeah, throwback to like when Brandon Saad was a Blue Jacket.
It feels so long ago, but it was really just like 2 years ago.
Holy cow.
But it just, like, I genuinely like them 95% of the time. And I would say that they're probably in my like top 10. But they've just shocked the heck out of me. Like, I was not expecting them to do this. I literally had the Lightning in five. I had the Lightning in five. And guess what they're not going to do?
Well, and Adam Wild on the Steve Dangle podcast had them sweeping. They had 4-0.
Oh, yeah. 4
game series.
Scored again.
Did they actually?
Yeah, the Blue Jackets just scored again.
Oh my God. My feed is a little bit behind.
This is peak comedy. Okay.
This is
my dog just shook everything out of her.
Who was it?
Oh, I think it was Seth Jones.
No, Seth Jones passed it over. It was the other D man with him.
They'll show
it in a second when they go
into
the...
They are showing it, but I can't tell who it is.
What number is he?
I don't know. Hold on. They're not showing me his number. Hang on.
Here we go. Bjorkstrand? Okay.
Yeah.
Because Seth Jones made the pass over to him.
Anderson might have tipped it, but I don't think he did. I think that went in. Like, off his shot.
Yeah.
I am...
Just amazing.
Oh, man, you guys. This is just...
It's peak playoffs. Like, this is the definition of, like, anything can happen in the playoffs. The eighth seed, who barely got into the playoffs on the last day of the regular season, is now up 2-0 in a two-game series so far. Up 2-0 in two games. The number one seed, top seed in the NHL, in the Eastern Conference. Like,
it'll be really interesting what happens, because if the Lightning don't make it out of this round, if they don't... Honestly, if they don't win the cup this year, everything in this regular season means literally nothing, which sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it means something, obviously, but it, at the end of the day, like, nothing.
You didn't get your final goal, and that's what you came here for, yeah.
It's funny because I think I've mentioned this before, but I went to the Lightning and Hurricanes game last year, and it was the last home game for the Hurricanes, and the Lightning looked terrible. I was sitting there ready to see a playoff team probably light up the poor Hurricanes, but no. I think the game ended up being like a 4-2 or 5-2 game, and the Hurricanes just blew them out. Like, this is what they do. They clinch too early, and then they just go into cruise control, and they can't get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Steve Dangle put it this way when they were talking about Boston. Everyone can think of, like, the best teams in the league as, like, these untouchables and these teams that have no holes, but he puts it in the terms of, like, the phrase, the beast bleeds. Like, there's ways to pick at the beast, there's ways to break them down, and that's what Columbus is doing really, really well against Tampa right now, is that they're finding ways to exploit them, they're finding holes in their game. And I remember watching game one, and Tampa had that 4-minute power play. And Columbus's PK was incredible. Like, they definitely did their homework before the game, but that's just an example of them doing their homework and making sure they were prepared. And it just kind of looked like Tampa was like, okay, we're the number one seed. They're the eighth seed. We don't really need
we're
to do any extra.
In.
We could just put it on cruise and go. And Columbus has given them a run for their money. And personally, like I feel like in sports, everyone loves the underdog story. But there's also like there's a part of me right now, like, I'm very disappointed just because there's a part of me that, like, I love to see a team go, like, full Thanos.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
I love to see a team just dominate when they're
just
supposed to.
Just be a total
to.
Juggernaut
yes.
for no reason.
I love that. Like, most people are like, oh, don't root for the underdog. Right, like, root for the underdog. No, I think it's pretty fun to see a very dominant team be dominant. I think it's fun. So why I'm disappointed in this series, you know? Like, it's fun to see Columbus give them a run like this, and it's just like, oh, okay, what's happening? But also, I'm like, come on, guys, like, this is the only time I get to watch Tampa because, like, they're not in my market, so whatever.
Yeah, sorry, I just had a moment. Patrick Sharp is on my TV.
I was pleasantly surprised when I saw him last night. I was like, "Hello, Patrick. You look great."
Hi, how are you? I miss you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think this series is fun, but I mean, I get what you're saying too. Like, I was really expecting the Lightning to, like, come out strong, and I didn't really want them to sweep the Blue Jackets,
right.
But I kind of figured they would, but that's clearly not the case. Mm-hmm. I literally, when the game was 3-0, whatever day that was, Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
I literally thought about turning my TV off and being like, okay, well, I could probably watch something else because the Lightning are just going to win, and I'm glad I didn't.
Right.
It just, I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, I just don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there's really nothing. I mean, excuse me. If Tampa continues to do this, it'll be quite the off season for them. And they've got some big contracts coming up, so.
I was going to say, it's not even like they're going to be able to keep this team together. Like,
well, they'll be able to keep majority of it.
Majority, but
they're going to be able to go for another, like, I'd say their window is another 2 to 3 years, especially if they get point signed long term.
Yeah, but I don't think they have the cap space.
I think they'll get point for sure. They're getting point for sure.
It's just insane. All of it is just.
Brayden Point is their Mitch Marner. Like, that's the guy they need. All right, so that was kind of our wrap-up of wraparound.
Oh, we should also mention that John Cooper, the head coach of the Lightning, called this series a five-alarm fire, so that's good.
Five-alarm fire. We're making that the title of this podcast today. So
five-alarm fire. I mean, that's just bad. When your head coach, arguably one of the best, if not the best coach in the NHL, calls your team a five-alarm fire, there is a problem. I mean, a major problem.
Let's see if Tampa figures this out between the next time we talk.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do our power plays. I'll let you go first since we kind of talked about it already, but we can just kind of head right into it. Hold on.
Yeah, sounds good.
Let me get my clock up here. Okay. You ready?
I think so.
All right, go.
Oh, boy. So we already kind of talked about the reffing and how bad it's been, but I specifically want to talk about the Hurricanes game yesterday. And again, I mentioned it a little bit, but I was so mad about it because I just feel like it was so lopsided, especially in that game. I'll talk about Boston and Toronto, too, if I have time, but I don't think I will. So early in the game, I want to say it was like the end of the first period, start of the second. Literally, Alex Ovechkin shouldered somebody. I can't for the life of me think of who it is. He like jumped up into the check and hit the guy right in the chin. Hurricanes player right in the chin. He got a 2-minute penalty for charging, I think. And then literally a period later, Michael Ferland ran into Nick Dowd and they just kind of collided. I think I retweeted it. If not, I'll make sure to retweet it and post about it. There was no head-to-head contact, no shoulder-to-head contact. It was shoulder-to-shoulder. Nick Dowd threw his face back like he had been shot, but there was no contact. And the refs didn't even review it. They just said, nope, you're done, you're out. And yes, Ferland had gotten a penalty like literally 2 minutes before that, 3 minutes maybe. But I just don't, like, what is the difference? You have to pick. You can't say one thing is not a bad hit and then something else is when they're, like, it just didn't make any sense to me because one of them should not have been a game misconduct or a match penalty, whatever. And the other one probably should have, or at least have been a longer penalty. And this is just how the reffing has been for most games. Like, aside from maybe, like, a handful, it's been absolutely terrible. And I really would like the NHL to do something about it because somebody's going to get hurt or somebody's going to get pissed and somebody else is going to get hurt because somebody was pissed. So I don't want to hear it when the NHL is like, well, this player got hurt because of blah, blah, blah. No, this player got hurt because your refs don't know what they're doing. End of rant.
You always go like 30 seconds over.
Might be.
It's okay. We love it. We love the passion. Okay.
I just get fired up, you know?
Ooh, we love to see that.
Okay. Let me know when you are ready.
I was born ready, Megan.
You go.
I want to talk about this week's social media and hockey Twitter in general, but it's specifically in the playoffs. Social media is a great thing for many reasons, and it's also a terrible thing for many reasons. A lot of people can take people's words and expand on them and put them in the wrong contexts and shed them on a bad light and just kind of over-exaggerate things. And it's especially true in the playoffs, and it's especially true when someone's coming at you for your team. And I get it. People get super defensive, and they want to protect their team, and I get that, and I'm the same way. But also, I feel like there are certain steps that you should go through when you're on social media, especially after a loss or especially after something controversial happens, like for the Nazem Kadri thing last night, for example. look at who's replying to you or replying to the person that you're looking at and saying, okay, is this person, like, does this person matter in the general sense of what I'm talking about? Like, is this someone that I really want to get angry about? Is this something I really want to get angry about? Is this something I want to be wasting my energy on? Because half the time, they're just trolls on the internet trying to get a rise out of like real genuine fans. And it's frustrating because they win a lot of the time. And it's unfortunate to see it because it's like, you know what you know and your knowledge and you're a fan and you watch every game. And then some bum who just watches maybe one game comes online. And it's like, oh, well, blah, 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 this and that. And so I get pissed off when I see things like that. But then I kind of remind myself a lot of times I'll be like, just put it away. Just turn Twitter off, turn Instagram off. Like, Just take a minute and just hang out because and chill. Because in the long run, like, it doesn't really matter what people online are saying. It just matters, like, what your opinion is, what you know. And if you're respectful about it with other people, you're allowed to have your opinion. But also there's a degree where you should be respectful of other people's opinions and not what other people are thinking. And so social media is something you can easily get wrapped up into. And my advice is just take it with a grain of salt. And know that it's not the end of the world.
Very nicely put.
Thank you. I just see people get like very angry on social media. And I'm like, I just ignore it. Like when people, like if I look at Elliot Friedman's Twitter or if I look at someone big that's in the hockey world or in the baseball world or whoever's mm-hmm. Twitter, I don't even open the tweet to look at the replies. I don't ever look at replies because I know I'm going to get pissed off by one of them. So I'm like, I'm just not going to touch it because
yeah, I've started not to worth not, it. Especially now with the playoffs. Like I just, it's really frustrating. And I kind of wish you could turn off comments on Instagram. Like, I know you can, like, on a, like, account level. Like, I could turn off my comments mm-hmm. on my posts, but you can't turn them off, like,
from seeing what's on other people's.
Yeah. And it, oh, some of the stuff, I'm just like, can you leave so-and-so team alone? Like, it sucks. Like, mm-hmm. the thing that sucks about the playoffs is that somebody's going to lose. Lots of teams. 15 teams are going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucks. But and I've been, I obviously, like, I am very passionate, and I think you know this pretty well. I get really, I let things get to me way, way, way too easily, but I don't take it to social media because I don't want to get into a fight with somebody on the internet.
Because you're an adult who understands boundaries.
Like, I'd rather vent to you or to, like, Olivia or to one of my parents or something, and I'm sure you guys all just love that so much. But, like, I would just rather rant to somebody who I know is just going to listen and let me do it rather than somebody who's going to try and school me in something they don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. It saves you a lot of time and energy, too.
It so does. And, like, fighting with people on Twitter is just so not worth it. Like, it is just not worth your time. I promise it's not worth it.
Pick your battles, people. Like, and that's not one you should be picking.
No, it literally Twitter is, as much as I love Twitter and Facebook comments, like Twitter replies and Facebook comments, just don't even start. Don't. You're going to get into a fight with somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about.
And that's the thing with social media is that it can be such a good tool, but it also can be such a detrimental thing. And like, especially nowadays with kids that are committing suicide because of what someone commented on their Instagram post or like people being bullied and people hide, like, because you can hide behind the screen and you can make yourself anonymous and you can do a lot of damage. And I feel like having social media also comes with having a responsibility of how you handle it handling it not only in what you are consuming and what you put on your feeds, but also what you're putting onto social media for other people to consume. Yep. And that's kind of it's a mindset that you need to get into and you don't think you need to because it's like, oh, it's just my Instagram account. But like I follow a family. I originally followed them on YouTube and now I follow them on all their social media accounts, but they're called the Divine family. They're called Somewhere Divine. They're international videographers. They have two little girls. They live in Utah. They're awesome. Check them out if you have any interest in like cool exotic places. Their work is incredible. But they did a video a while ago about the importance of filtering and like going through, like spending time and going through who you follow and what you follow on all your social media accounts, because half the time people are just in very terrible moods and have awful attitudes and outlooks on life. And a lot of that can be attributed to what you are consuming on social media. So if you're following people that like do negative things or are putting negative things out there or make you feel less of yourself, like bring your worth down. They're not worth having on your timelines or on your dashboards or wherever it is on your feeds. And so it's really important sometimes to just dedicate some time, sit down and filter through who you're following, because that can make a huge difference on your outlook for the day. Like, especially because I'm guilty of it. I wake up and the first thing I do is check Twitter for what I missed overnight. And it's terrible. I shouldn't do it, but I do. And so that if the first thing you're seeing in the day is something negative and something that isn't going to be inspiring to you or motivating to you or something that isn't going to make you want to get up and work towards your dream or whatever, then it's not worth having. And after I watched that video, I sat down for like 2 hours and filtered through my Twitter, my Instagram, my Snapchat, my Facebook, and I just filtered out who I follow, what I follow. And I've been so much happier for it because I'm seeing things that genuinely inspire me and genuinely bring me joy and like things that I want to be seeing. And it's really important to do it. And especially like, it's just important to have that mindset, especially when like you're on a sports dominated Twitter, like my entire Twitter is all sports. And there's a ton of different opinions being flown out around there because it's sports. Everyone has their own opinion on everything.
Yep.
So it's super important to go through and be like, okay, is this something that I want to be seeing? Is this worth it? And most of the time it's not. So that's just my little two cents on the whole social media thing, because it's been such a prominent part of my life and it will be with my career going forward. So it's like just important to have that like exposure, I guess, and like mindset when looking at it.
And I totally agree with you on the front of like unfollow people that make you unhappy. I can't tell you how many times one of my coworkers, kind of poke fun at me for doing this, but if I don't like what somebody's saying, or if I don't like some like one thing that somebody said, I'm really quick to unfollow people because I just don't care to see it. Like, if you're gonna be negative, that's fine.
Don't need it in your life.
You can be negative, that's fine. It's your social media, it's not mine, but I don't want it. So if you're gonna be a jerk about, as dumb as it sounds, if you're going to be a jerk about like one of my favorite teams, or if you're going to be a jerk about an actor I like or whatever, and I don't like it, I'm just going to unfollow you because I just don't care. And like, I've definitely unfollowed a lot of people because of political things recently, just because I don't care. I really just don't care.
That's a big thing. It's like, those are your views? Bye. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like all of the negativity around it too. Like, I'm not even really sure where I stand anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like, if I don't like what somebody's saying, I'm really quick to unfollow them because it's just, I just don't need it. And especially this season, I feel like a lot of Blackhawks fans, especially on Twitter and Tumblr, have been negative. I mean, it's not like I'm the most positive person when it comes to the Blackhawks, but I held hope that they were going to get into the playoffs until they were mathematically eliminated because I genuinely thought they could do it. And people have been down on them since like their bad streak in December, but it's pretty darn clear that they've been good since, well, not good's an overstatement, but like they've been at least more consistent and better since like January. So I wasn't ready to write them off. And I think a lot of people wrote them off at the beginning of the season, and I can't tell you how many people I unfollowed at the beginning of the season because I just didn't want to hear it. I straight up did not want to hear people.
It's healthy. Yeah. It's healthy to do it. And like, people are like, oh, you're being so petty. And it's like, no, I'm looking out for my own mental health and what I'm putting into my brain, essentially. You know?
Sorry, I don't like the content you're posting. I mean, that's kind of the point of the whole following, unfollowing thing.
You have the power to do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, you follow the content you like to see. Mm-hmm. If you start not liking the content, you can unfollow that person or that thread or whatever. So I think that was a really important topic to touch on, buddy. Good job.
Thank you. I think about it a lot, and like, it's just a shame to see people. It's just a shame to see people like become negative or just have negative experiences with social media, because it can be a really great place. So those were our power plays this week. Oh no, Jack Roslovic just scored.
I was gonna say the that's just tied it up.
Well, I got the notification 30 seconds later. Then I just got 4 consecutive texts from my friend Daniela, and I've talked about Daniela here before, and she's a huge Jets fan, but she's an even bigger Jack Roslovic fan. So I just got 4 and it just continually gets more H's. And so I was like, what happened. And then I got the notification 30 seconds. I'm like, ah, I see.
I thought it was Kevin Hayes because that's who they were showing after the goal.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't paying attention. I just saw that they scored.
First career playoff goal. Shouts to Jack Roslow.
But that's funny that we were just talking about them and now all of a sudden they're tied up. I think that series, I know Seattle. I see STL and I think Seattle and I don't know why. But St. Louis, I think I just try and block out the city of St. Louis. Just doesn't exist.
Just from memory.
Just gone. Sorry to anybody who lives in St. Louis. You're probably not listening to our podcast anyways.
Yeah. But
they're up in the series 2-0, but I mean, if it was 2-1, like that's not, I think the Jets still could resurface here.
That's the only
The Blues are just taking so many penalties. Every time I look up, it's Jay Bomeister in the box and I feel like Groundhog Day.
Well, and I think like the Tampa Bay, I mean, not Tampa Bay, the Winnipeg St. Louis series, that's the only series where I'm pretty confident that the Jets can come back. Like all the other ones, I'm like, I don't think so. Tampa, maybe, but the way they're looking right now, nope.
But I think the Jets need to win I think they need to win this game to come back.
Yes, for sure, for sure. All right, so that was our first podcast going through the first round of games. I'm sure next week we'll have much more to talk about since it'll be kind of almost wrapping up the first round. Almost.
I was gonna say we could have eliminations.
We could have that to talk about. So it's only going to get more exciting from here. Thanks for joining us again this week. Please keep coming back. As we said in the beginning, we do have new social media pages for our podcast. And also, Megan has taken it upon herself to make the new logo with a bunch of cool graphics, which I could never do. So shout out to Megan for running those accounts and for doing all of that stuff. Give her some love, too, for that, because I would never be able to do as much as she does. With that stuff. So the Twitter is at Puck and Write Shy, CHI. And then the Instagram is Puck and Write Chicago. We have both posted about it, but I'll post about it again when we do make this, when we do the whole description for this podcast and everything. So thank you for coming back again this week. We will see you again next week. Until then, enjoy the playoffs. Enjoy all the craziness that comes with it.
Best time of the year.
And be smart on social media.
Yes, please be smart.
All right, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye, guys.